Conclusion. The promises in 12-step literature seemed absurd to me, almost sarcastic, too twee, too cute. Forgive my evangelism, but I feel I have been saved and that you can be too. More than my outward impecunity, I was impoverished of spirit. What's more, and many who know me will vouch for this, I am and have been a kind of uber-individualist, determined to walk my own path, right in my own religion, traipsingly with my toes. My dislike of authority and institutions so entrenched that I would reject even loving guidance. When I embarked on this program, I was entirely entombed in brittle wisdom of my own composition. I could not be in the moment, and I did not know peace. I was unknowingly devout, believing that if I became a movie star and a prolific lover, then I would be free, elevated, absolved. I believed this, I now realize, because I thought that if I was that, a movie star and a philanderer, I would be other. I would no longer be me. In spite of my narcissism, which is undue and unhealthy self-regard, I did not like myself at all. What began as an opportunity to be free of my most obvious outward problem, chemical addictions, turned into, with very little authority from me, a total excavation of who I am and what it means for me to be a human in the world. I mentor a lot of men. I listen to their mad indulgences and crazy behavior. Generally, I think, though, wow, you're not as crazy as me. I'm not trying to perversely place myself on a podium at an Olympic Games for idiots. I'm literally in awe of the efficacy of this program. I am like a former fat man stood in his gigantic old trousers, two thumbs up and lithe, unable to believe the change. And I am not the architect of the personal cathedral in which I now gratefully repose. It was already there. I was just slumbering outside it, shivering, knowing for certain that I myself would be the one to save my world. Well, that's not how it went down. I was freely given a technique that induced a psychic change that worked and continues to work. First, it somehow got me free of drugs and alcohol. Then it gave me a way to be a better man. If your goal is perfect peace, I think that may only be attained when the lights go out. Perhaps in death there is freedom. But if what you want is a way of being in the world with your drives and our culture's demands, then this program will make your life first manageable and then beautiful. Today I woke up and I did not look at my phone as my truculent thoughts began their march on me. I intercepted them at the gate with surrender. I hand this day over. Show me how to be of service. I'm staying in the Lake District in a friend's house. It is beautiful here. It is intense and the sky is low and the rain moves sideward across the face of the day. I have a girlfriend with whom I share peace and easy communication. In the room is our young daughter who wakes up laughing. I meditate and set intentions for the day. I suppose I can't be surprised if you think it's all right for some, rather than how did this happen, because you've been on your own journey and haven't seen mine, and not one step of it hinted at this place as the destination. When I was making polite conversation in crack houses, I did so fearful that I may never know freedom. When I flung myself again and again at the feet of strangers like they could somehow be an altar, I didn't know that one day my garbled prayer would be heard and I'd be freed. And if for me, why not for you? We left the house with our galumphing hound, like the dog my dad had when I was a boy, like my ex-girlfriend's dog, a German shepherd. But I'm free to love this dog, knowing that while he may be mortal, he is ours. He isn't about to be taken away as long as I stay faithful. The image of domestic serenity is built upon this program. There is no secret dread waiting to upend it. I have a normal life. I'm not secretly gambling or having an affair. I am what I look like on this walk, a member of a family. Bear, being what he is, unruliness wrapped in brown fur, is soon off sheep bothering, and I am now a man in a field chasing a dog, mindful not to impotently holler his name, not to draw too much attention to this clumsiness. The sheep are unharmed, thankfully. Bear is tethered and we wander down to a cafe on Lake Coniston, the Bluebird Cafe. I, of course, didn't bring any money and ask if we can pay for our coffees next time, and they say it's fine. We sit outside in ordinary bliss, and when it's time to leave, the wind picks up and we as tentative new parents are uneasy when a group of female walkers move to sit at an adjacent table. After you, no, after you, and all that. I'm secretly frustrated for a second as I want to use the toilet before we leave and am unsure how to manage. If I take the dog, he'll probably eat someone's breakfast or set off a fire alarm. If I leave him with my family, he'll unsettle these walkers. But before I can even properly formulate my anxiety, one of the ladies is joyfully offering to hold the dog and taking the lead so kindly that I am both admonished and reminded that the world is full of love just waiting. And 10 minutes and half a mile later, Laura and I are leaning into the rain and the baby in her harness is getting wet. And again, we're about to accuse both the world and ourselves for allowing this to happen when the woman from the cafe, who must be in her 50s, comes running and calling, brandishing the waterproof cover from her rucksack, insisting we take it to cover the baby. She stands in the rain, fastening this makeshift baby cagoule across our daughter. Irene is her name. And she just couldn't bear the thought of us walking in the rain, she says. A few hundred yards on, the weather still treacherous, we stop at a gift shop and ask for a taxi number. The fella in the shop introduces himself as Brian, says he knows the house we're staying in because his missus works there cleaning. In fact, he'll give her a call and she'll drive us home. What is this world so full of kindness? Where is the world from the solemn TV news? Was the world always so gracious when I sat cursing and abusing? Were there angels all about me then, holding me in my belligerence? Hannah arrives and cheerfully packs us all into her car, our swamp of a dog and all, and deposits us home with the same easy and human grace that this program took me from my misery and placed me in this life. The kingdom of heaven is spread upon the earth and man sees it not. It's all right for you, you may think again, and I wouldn't blame you. It is all right for me, but it wasn't always so. At least I didn't see it. I felt impounded and hopeless, and it all changed. It became this life, as if that was what had always been intended, as if some force was waiting for me to invite it into my life when I was ready to let go of all my illusions of misery and power, potency and shame. My old way of life is with me still like a worn down coin in my pocket that I toy with from time to time. Like a madman, I sometimes countenance going back into the burning past to snatch at some scorched pleasure. The program must be lived completely, consulted whenever my thoughts stray. How did I become this person on the other side of my misery, on the other side of my life? I know that life is still there, waiting for me, if I ever choose to go back, if I ever think there's something left in the ashes. Even fatherhood would not be enough to hold me here in the blissful present if I let go of my program, even after the revelation of my daughter's birth. In chemistry, when two substances are introduced, if either component reacts at all, then both are changed forever. This program helps us to recognize early when we are transitioning from our right mind, a balanced and connected perspective, and into the warped perception of our disease. When we recognize this, we can take action, attend support groups, contact a mentor, do step work, help others. We have a choice. We don't have to wait for the agony to arrive before we take action. If we have a good step one, we have accepted that we have a problem and that without a program, we will continually tend towards discomfort and disease thinking. If we accept that we need to work a program rather than inwardly insisting that it's not fair and life should be easier, we are continually reminded by this defective thinking that we need to be active in our program or we will be active in our disease. This aspect of the disease I refer to by many names. Ego plus, the daemon, the extra bit of madness, magic, the edge. This additional and destructive component that addicts often have appears to reside exactly adjacent to the ego, and the ego covets it. The problems I encounter are often induced by my egocentric reclamation of this daemon magical energy. My experience in Hollywood deteriorated and became painful when I became egocentric, even though superficially it was the fulfillment of a dream. My experience with politics and activism became toxic when the sense of purpose that initially inspired me became unnoticed by me, appropriated by selfishness and egocentric drive. This mercurial impersonal energy has power, and I feel it in my body. I witness it with my mind, so it's easy to individualize, to take individual credit for. But actually, is there anything for which I can legitimately take credit? I didn't give myself the ability to speak or write. I didn't invent the English language or the printing press or the camera or any of these things upon which any success I've enjoyed has been built. This is why I need to be grateful for success, never proud of it, because in short, I've done nothing. It was all just there. When instead of grateful I feel proud, when instead of blessed I feel anointed, it's a sure sign that I am soon to be in mental peril. This energy, this mercurial and impersonal power, in conjunction with the personal ego, somehow conspires to find a destructive outlet. Perhaps because the shadow self, the unconscious and pre-linguistic mind, recognizes that the ego is a barrier between the individual self and this greater impersonal power, and has to immolate the barrier, has to burn it, discharge it. Perhaps this destructive drive in essence, which we call addiction or a suicidal tendency, knows that I is not self, that in fact the self has to go. Self has to be destroyed for the higher self to be realized. And if there is no spiritual protocol through which to achieve it, then we have to find another method, behavioral or chemical, to ameliorate the self, to give us connection, to give us liberation. The disease itself is not bad. It's trying to get somewhere. It's trying to take you somewhere. It's trying to free you from the illusion of the individualized, ego-defined life. I am aware that I only have the life I live now due to the principles of this program and my connection to a higher power of my understanding. It is the framework through which I experience reality. It has given me purpose, freed me from trauma and shame. It has given me the sanctuary that I sought from each false prophet that briefly illuminated, then stained my using life. It showed me that sex, drugs, fame and money are no more likely to resolve the yearning that I've always felt than porn or biscuits. If you feel that yearning and that you've never quite fitted in this world, then you should give yourself and this program a chance, because the yearning itself is real. It's trying to lead you home.